A new program to support LGBTIQ plus refugees from the Asia Pacific region was launched this week. The Refugee Advice and Casework Service and the Forcibly Displaced People Network have launched Bridge to Safety, a program to support this demographic by preparing and lodging humanitarian visa applications. So far, Australia and Canada are the only countries providing this service for LGBTIQ plus refugees, and funding and donations are critical. The Wire's Eduardo Jordan spoke with co-founder of Forcibly Displaced People Network, Dr. Renee Dixon, and LGBTIQ plus program lead and the Refugee Advice and Casework Service, Gretel Emerson, to hear more about the program.
My name is Gretel Emerson.
My name is Renee Dixon. So FDPN and RUGS is leading this program with a partnership. We've worked for this program to make it happen for many years. We know that LGBTQ community members are prioritized by Australian government as a priority group, but it's never translated into the practice. So we advocated and work with them together and with other partners who supported our proposal to actually find a way how we can organize and prioritize LGBTQ community members to being able to access the resettlement pathways. Because unfortunately, yes, we have a lot of different pathways, complementary pathways, resettlement pathways, but they're very rarely accessible for systemically discriminated communities like LGBTQ people.
Forcibly Displaced People Network is partnering with RUGS for this program. What motivated both parties to develop this program?
Yeah, so RUGS has been working with FDPN for a number of years, and we've been seeing a number of inquiries that come through to RUGS from people offshore that are inquiring about pathways to be able to seek safety and humanitarian assistance in Australia. And for as many years as we've received those inquiries, we've had to send them a stock standard response, kind of covering that the options are very limited, and it's been quite disheartening to have to do that for the number of inquiries that we do receive. And so when FDPN started working on this proposal and we're engaging with the department, we knew that a legal provider would be very useful and a requirement of being able to execute this program.
FDPN is bringing the community trust because we know the community trust us, they're reaching us out, and we are providing safe entry points where they can come to us and say, hey, this is what is happening. So we're helping them to go through this process.
Now, what are the struggles LGBTIQ plus refugees face when asking for a humanitarian visa, particularly when they're asking that to Australia?
One of the main struggles that we've been seeing through the existing pathways prior to this has been about disclosure of someone's self-identity. And so that's why it's been very difficult for people to seek protection outside of Australia on the basis of their sexuality or their gender identity, because that involves self-disclosing your sexuality or your gender identity to an authority. And that's been a really big barrier to accessing this humanitarian aid. The safety that FDPN provides by allowing people to refer and self-identify to that established organisation can really help get past that main barrier.
What we have, Refugee Convention that was adopted in 1951. The first guidance on how to assess LGBTQ claims was issued by UNHCR only in 2008. So it's 57 years later, we finally have a protocol that our cases were able to assess. And that's not perfect.
Which geographical areas is this program mostly supporting? And how's the process for supporting this demographic looking like?
Well, the main areas that the program is facing, working with, is Asia and the Pacific. That's where we've recognized some of the biggest gaps and we receive the most inquiries from. And so the process of supporting people from these geographical areas involves different partner organisations that are on the ground that are helping us to identify people that need this protection and helping us to be the bridge between us and the person needing the safety, to be able to help them with their documents, the application form, things like exit permits, interviews, health checks, is through those regional partners.
Now, you are also asking the community and organizations, basically, to help funding the program. In which ways can we contribute, and where we can get more information about this?
The biggest contribution we're seeking at the moment is donations to fund both the FDPN and RACS work on the program.
Co-founder of Forcibly Displaced People Network, Dr. Renee Dixon, and LGBTIQ plus program lead at the Refugee Advice and Casework Service, Gretel Emerson, speaking with The Wire's Eduardo Jordan.